Yes, Psalm 145, if you want to open up your Bibles or follow along on your phones. Otherwise, it's also on the screen. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I'll praise your name forever and ever. Every day I'll praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Thanks, Lockie. Well, it's been a real treat these last couple of weeks to have visits from Mark Peterson from the Church Missionary Society and John Warner from Bush Church Aid. Both have so helpfully lifted our eyes to see God's mission in his big world, broad horizons of the Australian outback, and even kind of global perspectives on that. And then, of course, today we're thinking about an outreach a little more locally. And we're also kicking off 3 weeks in the Psalms, picking up some of the thoughts that we were reflecting on earlier in the book of Psalms, seeing how God gives us words to speak to each other, words to speak to him in a really wonderful way. And although next week we'll get back into sequence, we'll be back at Psalm 7, which is picking up from where we left off, I did think it was actually really helpful to open Psalm 145 together this morning. Because we might find ourselves pondering, as we talk about church planting and sort of the impact of relationships that change, what could possibly motivate the good people of Trinity Church Victor Harbour to go through the pain of planting another church? Are they going to have to send out 50 of their closest friends who they love catching up with every week? Are their kids play together? They've laughed and cried together in growth groups? They've been on mission running Taste and See or playing in the Christmas Carols band together? What could motivate the people of Trinity Church Victor Harbour to plant a church in Goolwa? Actually, it's pretty closely related to the question of what could possibly motivate Matt and Annika to uproot their girls from all of the familiar surrounds of Mitchell Park, where they're living close to family and friends. They're really beautifully embedded in this loving church community that they've been a part of for 6 years. They're leaving behind people that they've encouraged and taught and served and prayed for. What could motivate Matt and Annika and their girls to make a move down to Goolwa? And what could possibly help us to see the beauty and the delight of this for us too, here at Trinity Church Brighton? We've loved these guys. We're so thankful that they're a part of our church family. We've been taught and encouraged and prayed for by them. We're going to miss them. What could possibly help us to see the beauty and the delight of sending them away to join the team in Victor Harbour with a vision of planting a church in Goolwa? That's why we're in Psalm 145. Because I think it answers these questions in the most wonderful ways. We're going to work through it. I'd love to encourage you to keep it open, not verse by verse and line by line, but to see some of the richness of the beauty of what God is holding out for us here that I hope will shape both our words to one another, but also our words to him in prayer. And I think the first answer that God gives us is in the first seven verses of this psalm. What would motivate any of that is that God is absolutely worthy of praise, and there are so many people that don't know that. Let me read for us again from verse 1 through to 7. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Friends, I think in many ways this is a wonderful summary of what it means to be a Christian. It's just a beautiful, simple picture of someone who knows the glorious splendor and majesty and the righteousness of God, who knows his awesome works and great deeds, who knows how worthy of praise he is, and then delights to join in that praise. It's a wonderful summary of what it means to be a Christian because it also reminds us that praise is needed for the sake of God's glory and the good of those who don't yet see it. I wonder if you've kind of pondered what praise is much. It's what this psalm opens with, you know, verse after verse, line after line of it. Praise is telling one person about another person. So when I remind my kids of how wonderful their mother is, I'm praising her. When you talk together about the game of footy yesterday and how outstanding Brisbane was, you're praising them. A praise is telling one person about another person. In this instance, it's talking to others about God. I worship God directly. That's me and him. I praise him to a third party. And what this psalm is highlighting for us is why mission is so absolutely necessary. To quote American pastor John Piper, mission exists because worship doesn't. Mission exists because worship doesn't, and praise is the means of mission. We're simply talking about the worthiness of God, how awesome he is, praising God. Well, it's something that we can do to those who already know him. We can do that with each other here, building them up, encouraging one another, helping each other know God better. But praising God to those who don't yet know him, there's a privilege. There's a joy. As we read in verse 4, one generation commends your works to another. That's what we're doing out in kids' ministry, praising the goodness and the greatness of God to those who don't yet know him, that are just coming to know him, that are growing in their childlike faith in him. But missionally speaking, that image of generations, that's not just kind of children and family life in that sense, but rather generations of the members of the family of God, speaking about the glory and the goodness of God to those who don't yet know it. And that's what makes church planting worth it. That's where the great delight is found in sending the winters out. They get to participate in the praise of God down in Goolwa, that we might participate kind of through them in that great work. I think that's the first reason that Psalm 145 encourages us that this is profoundly worthwhile. This is a joyful thing that we would exalt the name of our God and King. But if we read on from verse 10 through 13, we actually get to see that this is what we were created for. This is getting on board with the mission of what the whole universe is about. There's a sense in which we praise God because this is what everything is built for. Let me read from verse 10. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. All of your works praise you, Lord. It's actually a scene that runs through so many of the Psalms. Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his name day after day. When we take people through Taste and See, one of the slides that things that we love to talk about, reflecting on the connection between science and faith and science and the creation accounts of Genesis, is to actually point us to the wonder that science actually lets us sort of draw back the curtain and see the beauty of God's creation, that we might actually marvel at his glory and his majesty and might and wisdom. We have this lovely quote from Francis Collins, who was for a long time the head of the Human Genome Project, a passionate Christian man himself working right on the cutting edge of science, who would say, "Scientific discovery is a reason for praise. All your works praise you, Lord." And I'm excited that I get to be a part of that, says David here in Psalm 145. I get to be on about the same mission as a far-flung nebula in all of its, you know, blazing glory. The stars are out there declaring the glory of God. They're highlighting the wonderful work of his hands, making known his majesty and his splendor. And we get to be a part of that too. We actually have the wonderful privilege of joining in the mission of the whole universe in praising the glory of God. But this isn't just about the bigness of God, just his power and might and majesty, because one of the things I've been just dwelling on and really loving in this psalm is how profoundly personal God is, deeply relational. He's not just a God who does all of his mighty deeds. We hear about that. He is a God who loves. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. If we jump down to verse 13. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall down and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. This is God in his compassion and kindness. When we praise him, we're not just telling people about a God who's out there, who keeps the stars spinning and does amazing creative work. But we're telling people about the God who wants to be with them, in here, up close and personal, loving, compassionate, gracious. And actually that word grace, it jumps off the page in the middle of this psalm that is so much about the awesome, majestic deeds of God. It's actually the word grace that reminds us of the privilege of relationship with him. That in his grace, he pursues relationship with us, even when we've turned our back on him, even when we have chosen to close our eyes to the glory that is painted everywhere around us and to turn our backs on him as the giver of all of these good gifts. It's his grace that he actually reaches out. He wants to be with us. That is why he is worthy of our praise. Because this is our God. He is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is rich in love. And he cares. We get to speak to others about the God who cares for them. And Christian, we get to speak of it particularly because if we know Jesus, we've experienced this care, haven't we? We speak to others of the God whose loving kindness we've experienced, and we long for them to experience it too. This is the richness of Psalm 145. It's a beautiful picture of the words that we might speak to each other. It's the picture of that should shape the sorts of words that we speak to God, that we turn all of these things to Him. God, I will exalt you, my God and King. This is my prayer to you, that I might speak of your glorious splendor and majesty, that I might reflect on your compassion and your graciousness, your kindness to me, that we would learn to pray through these words and make them our own. But I actually want it to be even more interactive and more involved than that, because this is fundamentally a psalm about praise, which is done in the third person. It's talking to someone else about God. And sometimes we overcomplicate that. Now, sometimes it's an interesting hypothetical idea and we struggle to picture what that might be like in the week ahead. There can be a bunch of really good ideas that don't go anywhere. So I want you to pause for a moment now. I want you to pause for a moment now and think of one thing that you can praise God for. Is it His mighty work of creation? Maybe you were out for a walk this morning and it just took your breath away. Maybe you reflect on the documentary that you saw last week that you just thought, wow, that is cool that that happens in this creation. Or is it His awesome power in raising Jesus, His grace in the face of your sin, His kindness in your struggles? Is it the nearness of Him that you've experienced in those darker moments? What is one thing that you can praise God for? Well, friends, now I actually want you to praise God. And this is how we're going to do it. It's going to be a little bit chaotic, and that's kind of fun, because you're going to get off your seat. And you're going to speak to people. You're going to speak to each other. Because we have just read that one generation commends God's mighty works to another. And so that's what we're going to do. After all, if Matt and Annika and the girls can uproot, and they're going, 73 kilometres or something like that down to Goolwa, the least that we can do is walk across to the other side of the room, maybe even down a couple of chairs, whatever it might be. The point is, in a moment, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to find someone who is at least, I've said 10 years, at least 10 years older or younger than you. At least 10 years. You're welcome to go for a bigger gap if you want, but, you know, have a guess. And don't be offended if, you know, turns out you're not actually. And I'm like, I thought I was just older than you. Have a crack at it. Need to find someone at least 10 years older than you or younger than you. Sit down with them. Tell them one thing that you praise God for. Now, you might be new here and you're like, this is a bit kooky. These guys are a bit intense. Maybe you're not even sure who this God is and what would it look like for you to talk about Him. Friends, we are delighted that you're here and I don't want you to feel the least bit uncomfortable. If someone comes and sits down to them, just look them in the eye and say, what do you come to talk to me about? And let them do the talking. Like, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Like I said, it's going to be slightly chaotic, but I hope in the most beautiful way. I'm going to give you a minute to get out of your seats and find someone. Then I'm going to let you know you've got a minute to share with each other something that you praise God for. There you go, 10 years difference. Go praise God together. All right, friends, this is the kind of conversation that I hate to cut across, but I will. Can I invite you to take a seat where you are rather than returning to where you were? Just that encouragement again to take a seat where you are rather than where you were. And to remind us of the great delight of praising God. Isn't it just wonderful? It is the delight of joining in the whole purpose the universe was created for. You think of the privilege of doing the very thing that you were made for. That we would see and celebrate the glory of God. That's why we plant churches. That's why we say goodbye to dear friends. That's why we uproot and go places where people need to hear about the abundant goodness of God. That's why we step out of our comfort zone at work or at school and we pick up the conversation. I mean, it's the same reason why we have half a dozen adults out there now with our kids right now extolling the name of the Lord to the next generation. It's the reason why we gather youth together on a Friday night. We want to commend the bedrock faithfulness of God to a generation whose lives are just surrounded with shifting sands. It's the same reason why we spent hundreds of dollars and dozens of hours preparing and cooking and then speaking and delivering Taste and See over this last month. It's also that we can share with others the abundant goodness of God. It's for His glory. It's for their joy. So let's pray. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Our loving Heavenly Father, how majestic is your name in all the earth, and you have made known yourself to us. Father, we thank you that you have reached out to us, chased after us, showered us with your grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus, that we might know what it is to call you Father and invite others to do the same. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.